Aren't you thankful for mercy? Oh, hallelujah. God has mercy for us. He has abundant grace for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, here we are. We made it through another week. Many of you have been through a lot of things. There's been several things happening. You know, the enemy has a plan and agenda, but guess what? From the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, was slain for your situation and my situation. Amen? And you're here this morning. You're not defeated. You're victorious because of who you serve. You're victorious because who you trust in, who's alive and well on the throne of your heart, and for no other reason. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7? We're on our fourth week of talking about being just like Jesus. And this morning we're going to talk about righteous roots. Righteous roots. You know, and unless we know where we're pulling from, we don't know what fruit we can produce. You know, you've got to know who your source is. I've got to know. We've got to stir ourselves up and we've got to put ourselves in remembrance of what the Word of God says. And we've got to recognize that we're joined to Jesus. And you've got greater things in you than you even understand. Greater. The greater one lives in you. Amen? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're going to use your tongue to speak the Word of God. Amen? To bring down every plan of the enemy and to bring the will of God to pass in your life. Amen? Because you're going to change your fruit because you have a root that's joined to Jesus. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 7. Let's start reading in verse number 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus says, notice red letter, beware of false prophets. Now remember, what does a prophet do? He speaks, right? So hold that in your heart. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits, in other words, by their speech. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree, say I'm a good tree. Come on. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice what he says in verse number 20. Wherefore by their fruits, by their speech, wherefore by their speech you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith, their speech, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Sister Donna, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for honoring the word. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Donna. Hallelujah. This morning, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to know that Jesus Christ, that He has a word for us ahead of time of every season of our life, of every situation that we're going to encounter. Amen? He has a word for us, and He has words to encourage us and to help us to see some things about our own life. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, I want you to think about where this journey that we're taking this year to get into the place and the position to allow the Word of God to expand our lives, to expand our ministry, to expand our influence. And notice when I say our, it's all from Him. Amen? He owns it all. But He owns us first and foremost. Because you and I have been bought with a price of the very precious blood of the Lamb of God. And so I want us to be in the place this morning that we recognize that everything about your life and my life is a process, and it's a walk in the will of God being revealed, coming from the permissive will to the perfect will. It's a walk of allowing the Word of God to prune us and to purge us and to get us into the Spirit in every situation. See, you know, our key text for that we've been talking about this year, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the... And so God's taken us somewhere. He's taken us where you and I can live above and beyond the limitations of the flesh. We can live in this in the Spirit. And the way that we do that is that we allow the Word to give us a picture of where we're at. Now, see, the devil wants you and I to concentrate on everything that's wrong in our lives. He wants us to concentrate on what happened yesterday. He wants us to concentrate on the sin that used to dominate us. He wants us to see ourselves in the light of the very risen Christ working in our lives. So this is why we're looking at these verses of Scripture. Now, I want you to mark it down that Jesus talked about in verse number 16. He talked about your fruit. And he said that very simple statement, you know, you don't go to a thorn tree to get grapes. So you've got to recognize, and I've got to recognize that I am in the vine. Come on, you've been transplanted. You've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and you've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're now attached, and we're going to look at it in a moment. You've been grafted into the vine, amen? And so with that relocation, that transplantation by the Holy Spirit, you're not what you used to be, but you've got to recognize that the enemy will try to get you to talk like you used to talk. He'll try to get you to surrender up some blessings and some promises and some provision that God has for you. But you and I are going to change His agenda because we're going to always be led by the Holy Spirit and His agenda. Amen? All right, let's look at some things. Go with me to the, Romans chapter 5. And let's see where we've come from. Because, you know, we'll never know how far we've come in the grace of God until we look at the Word of God and allow it to paint a clear picture. Because you're further along than you think you are. Come on now. The devil doesn't want you to recognize that or realize that. He doesn't want you to walk in that reality. But it's the truth. Because any time that you start on this journey walking by the power of the Spirit of God of Jesus Christ in your life, you have crossed over the chasm of hell, death, and the grave. Come on, the cross has took you past that and is taking you to the destiny that you were created for. In Romans chapter 5, look what the Word of God says in verse number 12. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Now notice this, mark this down in your mind's eye, for that all have sinned. Of course, we could read it in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you and I, we not only had sinned in our life, but we had become sin. And that sin had a hold on us. And that sin was equaling death in our lives. Even though we were alive physically, we were dead spiritually, and we were on our way of living moment by moment until we took our last breath in the natural. And so that's where we were. Now think about that. Where you once were was in the place of death. But now, because of the goodness of God, the grace of God, He went and met you. He went and met me where I was at, being swallowed up by this world, swallowed up by the lust of the flesh and the misunderstanding of what life was truly all about. He come to where I was at. He come to where you were at because He wanted to put you in His Son. Yeah. Think about that. That's why Brother Corey was teaching us this morning about how much you're loved. You know, if we get an understanding of how much God truly loves us, it places us in a next level, a sphere that we've never seen from before, a realm of understanding of goodness, of grace that empowers us to be able to be all God called us to be. Amen? Now think about what he said here. He said all had been in that place of sin. And then drop down and look what he says in verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. You and I, we were in death. We were of death. We had no hope. But he said, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, because you have received the grace of God this morning, and you have been in the place where this translation has took place, you're no longer living under the law, under the spear of sin, but you're living by the gift of righteousness. God's gift to you. In other words, you have right standing with God. You have the promise and the provision of God to bring His Word to pass in your life because you're able to recognize all the words around you that are not beneficial for you. Remember, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. See, there's a lot of words that goes around you that seem religious. But religious is not righteous. Two different things, amen? Your righteousness is not about a religion. Your righteousness is about a relationship this morning. You have been Jesus joined, and because you've been Jesus joined, you have righteous roots. And those righteous roots comes as a free gift from God into your life. And so that means that you have the ability to recognize some of the things that you used to say and how those things created a fruit in your life that you didn't like. Come on, every one of us, we're eating of what we spoke yesterday. But thank God we can change our speech because we can see that you and I, we are the prophet of our own life. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. When He said that, I need to point my finger first at myself. Let no man deceive you. So I need to be in the place and the position to recognize and realize I'm going through some things in my life today that I don't like. But if I will be in all honesty about it, the devil didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I had nearly everything to do with it, and then the devil jumped on board. And so I want to see that the miracle is in my mouth. The miracle is in your mouth by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I have a gift now. I have the gift of righteousness. In other words, that gift is I have Jesus the Word being ministered to my life by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is wanting me to pull out of the roots of Jesus Christ and start saying what God says about my situation, about my circumstance. He wants me to stop cursing it and making it worse and putting the veil over it. And He wants me to put it under the place of the provision of the Psalm 91, I want to abide under the shadow of the Most High God. I want to abide under His covenant, under His promise, under His blessing. Look at verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You and I, we have got to start living out of the reality that because Jesus lives, I live, you live. And because Jesus came and took my sin, your sin, for us, it is right for God to what? To bless with all the abundance of the reality of what Jesus came to give His church. Amen? But I've got to see that my fruit has got to come from the reality that I can't speak out of here. See, your spirit is how you touch God and how God touches you. In your spirit, out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. That's where the Holy Spirit is. He's in your spirit. But your mind, will, and your emotions is how you touch the world and how the world touches you. And so when you start hearing these voices that are contrary to the blessings of what the gift of righteousness has brought to you, what do? You gauge them by the Word of God. And if it doesn't match the Word of God, you say no in the name of Jesus. You submit yourself, therefore, unto God. You resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee. Those words, because there's only two sources, God or the devil. And so I've got to recognize that in every situation, I've got a choice to make whether I submit to the Lord or I submit to the devil. And I recognize and realize that the devil will allow me to heap every curse if I will listen to him. That's his joy. That's his plan. But God wants me to walk in the blessings. He wants me to be in the place and the provision of what His Son Jesus said. Notice what it said. It said that upon all men comes condemnation without Jesus, but with Jesus, the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all. All. I've got to see that there's more to Jesus than I've ever dreamed of. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He has more things for us than we've ever dreamed of. Amen? but I've got to get in this place. And so what I want to do is I want to take the Word of God and allow it to be the foremost thing in my life. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 12. And look what Jesus said. Jesus made this profound statement. Now, this is very powerful. This is what you can do for your life. This is what I can do for my life. Look at verse number 33. Matthew 12, 33. Jesus makes this statement. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. Sounds just like what we read, right, in Matthew chapter 7. A tree is known by its fruit. But now Jesus brings a little deeper revelation. See, this is why you and I can't stop hearing the Word of God, because every time we hear it, He brings a deeper understanding of what He was saying. So those who were there when He was teaching that in Matthew chapter 7, they all of a sudden here, they're getting a greater revelation. He's telling them, just like He's telling us this morning, that you have the ability by the Word of God to make your tree good. And He said, if you made your tree good, you would make your fruit good. Amen? But He said, you had that ability. I've got that ability. So I need to look at the fruit in my life, and I need to recognize by the Holy Spirit some things that may not line up with the Word of God, that may not be God's best, that may not be for the benefit of me, my family, my church family, the body of Christ. And I need to say, Lord, show me where I'm partaking of the wrong tree. Show me where I'm not Jesus joined, where I don't have the righteous fruits. I'm not saying what you'd have me to say, because you said I could make it good. Come on now. Well, I want things that the Lord has for you. I want things that the Lord has for me, don't you? I don't want anything that the devil has. So He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good. So you have the ability to do it. Say, I can do. Come on, you can do, because it's God in you. Amen? Now, notice what He says. Drop down to verse, we're going to come back to that, but verse 34, we quote this verse all the time. Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what we want to do is, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to show us everything that is righteous. Remember the gift of righteousness. Now, the gift of righteousness is Jesus Christ. And all He's the promises of God, and He wants to do an MRI on your heart. He wants to do a close examination of your heart, and He wants to show you and I anything that we may have sown in our heart that would be in abundance that's contrary to His Word. And so we give that to Him, and as we give that to Him, all of a sudden we start speaking and saying right things, and the right things is the will and the plan of God. Amen? And it starts flowing out of your life. All of us, you know, when you get in that place in prayer where it's strictly by the power of the Spirit of God, and you start praying some things, and you think, I didn't even know that that was in the Bible. But you know that it's coming from the Word of God, because there's a unison of your spirit and the Holy Spirit. There's an agreement there. Amen. And that revelation is flowing out of your life. And you're speaking the right things of God out. And as you speak the right things of God out, it goes out here, and then it comes back in here, and it goes back in here. And when you get that complete circuit, that's how you get the renewing of your mind. And that's how you bring your body under subjection. And that's how the blessings of God start flowing in your life and my life. Amen. Now, notice what he said. Verse 35, a good man, a good woman, no gender intended, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, woman, out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So he says in verse 36, now mark this verse down on your heart. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now that idle word is an interesting word from the Greek. It basically means inactive. It means unemployed. In other words, God owns it all, and God's words, they work. And if we've been bought by the Lord, and we need to speak the Word of God, and when we speak the Word of God, our words are employed, or they're backed up by heaven. Remember Jesus, the Holy Spirit said through the prophet Jeremiah that He would hasten to perform His Word? All right, the words are employed. They're active. But if we're saying what we're feeling, if we're talking out of our head knowledge, if we're talking out of the thorn bush, if we're talking out of the negative, those words are not employed by God, but they're employed by the devil. And And he said they would bring a judgment in that situation. In other words, you realize that there's areas, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. There's areas in my life that God's been trying to bless me and help me. And I cut him off from it. I've done it myself. Not the devil. I've done it because I stood against what God was wanting to do because I had a certain feeling that was being manipulated by the enemy. Now, see, one of the things that I fought with and struggled with, one of the curses in my bloodline is a quick temper. Every time there's a quick temper there, there's a spirit. Come on, there's a spirit behind that. I've come a long ways, but I still got a ways to go. Amen. Yesterday, just out of the blue, after me and Donna had a time of prayer and we was there, all of a sudden, bam, I lost my temper. And it scared me because I haven't experienced that in a long time. And I looked at Donna, I said, my goodness, what was that? But you see, when you and I make progression, the devil is always there to try to get us to regress, to try to take us back. And if I had said, oh no, I haven't come this far, and I'd accepted what he was trying to show me, then all of a sudden, I'm back in that place instead of where I'm supposed to be. You and I today, we are not the sum of what happens in a moment, because what happens in a moment is that the work of the enemy to get you and I to believe that what God is doing in us and through us by Jesus Christ is not real. But it's real. Amen? So I want us to see this now. Notice what he said. Go back up to verse 33. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. So what I've got to recognize is when something happens in my life and I say what I don't mean to say, immediately I make confession to the Lord. Lord, that I don't know what happened exactly. I don't know why I said that. I don't know what the pressure was. And if you want to show it and reveal it to me, fine and great. But if not, I just want you to know that that's not the way I feel. I trust you. My confidence, my hope is in you. And right now, let that be covered. I don't want that to have any fruit in my life. I want only your word. And so I make it good by I come back and I say, now, wait a minute. That was a root that had got supplied out here somewhere illegitimately. In other words, there was an open door. Now, see, what caused that fit, that little anger there that I had was I was feeling guilty about something, and guilt is an emotion that the devil can pervert. And if you allow the enemy, if you don't do something about that, the devil will come right in that door, and then he will bring what is a fruit of guilt, which in my case is anger. Now, transparency. We can help each other if we'll be honest with each other and talk to each other. Life is not perfect. Jesus is. And he's doing a work in our life. So either make the tree good. So how do I make the tree good? I shut off those roots that are out there that have not been brought under subjection. Those roots that have not been brought under the obedience of Jesus and the sanctification. I say, Lord, I want you to have all of those. I want every root of my life, every open door, I want to be closed by Jesus. I want it to be under the function of him being the lordship of it. Amen? Now, all of this happens by grace. Go with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse number... chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, or so live, ye in him, as you therefore have received. Now, what is so great about Jesus is, when I got saved, when I got born again, I received him as a little child, just like you did. But I received him in the reality that I could walk right where I met him. Come on. In other words, you and I, we don't have to receive according to someone else. We receive him where we're at, our understanding, our ability in him, by him, and we're able to walk. We're able to immediately live out where we're at, and we don't put each other in bondage. I don't have to live like you. You don't have to live like me. We just have to live like Jesus as he's revealed to us. And notice what happens. Rooted and built up in him. Come on, you and I, how do we make the tree good? How do we make the speech good? We recognize that we're rooted in Jesus Christ. We're rooted in him. In other words, he's our source of life. Remember, he's the gift of righteousness. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become in right standing with God. You become a full-fledged heir, joint heir with Jesus Christ. You become an heir of God. You were named in the family of God. You got shoes on your feet. Come on. You're no longer a slave. You got the ring on your finger. You got the robe of righteousness on you. Come on. You're no longer the prodigal. You are somebody. Amen? And so you got to see, I can be rooted in Jesus. And I can be what? I can be in the place where I'm being built up, established in the faith. And I will abound there with the thanksgiving. In other words, all of a sudden, when we start recognizing these outside voices that try to talk through us to get down in the mouth, to get negative. Because, see, the devil, he'll show you, boy, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. How can you ever get this worked out when, boy, that's up here on the fourth step, and here the first step, it's crumbling. Come on, he's a discourager. But you and I, we're rooted and grounded. In other words, we have faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know that verse, Romans 10:17. But we've got to keep our soul in the place of hope, expectancy. Your expectancy is that God's for you. And if God's for you, nobody can be against you. Your expectancy is that God has plans to prosper you, plans to bless you. And you know, I know that everything gets perverted, but that word prosper means for you to lack no good thing. But you've got to be willing. Come on, Isaiah 1:18 or 1:19, which is it? If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But you and I have got to be willing and obedient. How are we willing and obedient? We don't let the enemy move us from the root of Jesus. Amen? All right. Now, you're in this second chapter. Turn over and let's look at verse number 6 in the fourth chapter. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. But let your speech be always with grace. And that, this word with is the Greek word in, but it means a fixed position. See, you're in a fixed position. You're in Christ Jesus. And just like you're in Christ Jesus and he's in you, your speech, my speech, can be in him because we're rooted, we're being strengthened in him. So you're in a place, I'm in a place, where our fixed position by our speech is the source of the grace of God. Now, God's grace is enough. It's sufficient. It's abundant in your life, in my life. So let your speech be always with grace. In other words, you and I, we're in a place where we're, you know, the Bible says pray always. Pray without ceasing. We have a fellowship. It's not that we're on our knees praying, but we have a communication with the Father all the time. And our communication is, Lord, what do I need to say in this situation? What would you say in this situation, Lord? Because I know that you have a creative force. You have a word. You have a will. You have a plan in this situation. I want your grace to bring it out of me because I'm rooted. I'm Jesus joined. I have righteous roots. I'm in Jesus. I want him to speak his revelation, his will, his right creative word in this situation. And I've got the grace to be able to do it. Amen? Now Jesus made this bold statement. See, because when we talk about having let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:13? He said in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt. So not only is your speech seasoned with salt, it is salt. Now, salt changes things, right? What does salt do? Salt enhances things, makes things taste better. But what I love about it, salt brings healing. You have the ability to speak some things that are hurt in your life, that are broken in your life, that needs the Word of God to come on it like the balm of Gilead that will bring healing. You have that ability. Because He said all you had to do was let your speech. In other words, just say, Lord, I yield to You. I yield to You. See, the only time, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, the only time I mess up is when I'm willing to take God's place. And I think I know better. Come on now. But if I will let, He said that He would supply the grace, and that grace is the reality that I am salty. Come on, you are salty. And you know what salty speech does? It brings peace. Let's look. I think it's in Mark. Mark, let's go to Mark chapter 9. It may not be. But anyway, somewhere in here, somebody help me if you can find it. Somewhere in Mark 8 or 9, right in here somewhere, it talks about your saltiness, and that your saltiness, that it brings the peace of God. In other words, your ability to say what God says about the situation, that it will bring peace in that situation. How many things in your life, in my life today, do we have a situation where there is no peace? And a lot of the situations, I have no peace because I have not yielded to the Spirit of God. And I've said what I felt and what the enemy has showed me rather than what I should have been saying. Verse 50. Salt is good, Mark 9 and 50. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? But notice the last part. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Well, Jesus then said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt. So you have salt in yourself. So right now, come on now. In a situation in your life where you have do not have peace with somebody or a situation, then you speak the Word of God over it in the name of Jesus. Because you have salt in yourselves, because you are salt, and you have the promise. In other words, you say, right now, you speak to that situation, you speak to that that division, that turmoil, that misunderstanding, whatever it might be, and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bring you under subjection. In the name of Jesus Christ, you and I know that the devil is a devil of division. He is a devil of despair. He is a devil that wants to cause distrust and disinformation. And so you and I, we bring all of that under and we say, no, I have peace in this situation because God's Word says I do. Amen. Come on, you're joined to Jesus. You have righteous roots and you have the ability to do that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
All right, let's look at Romans 15. Let's see the power of what it means of who you are. In Romans 15, Paul does an amazing job. Look what he says starting in verse number 8. Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promise made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now stay with me. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Come on, say, he's talking about me. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. Verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Shall you hope? Come on. You have a hope. Because you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He is the root now. Come on now, you don't have to have a root in yourself. God looked at you, He looked at me, and He's seen that we were rooted to this world. He's seen that we were rooted to sin, that we were rooted to the devil. Come on, that we had no hope. We were lost and undone, but He sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth to give us hope. He sent Jesus. Now, you can read this in Isaiah chapter 11, down about verse 10, if you want to study that. He is that root, but you've got to claim Him for your own. And all of a sudden, see, when you start making that declaration, you start saying, Jesus is my root. In other words, He's my source. He's the vine, I'm the branch. Come on, John 15. And you start making that. You may mess up 10 times. The Bible says, if a righteous man falleth 7 times, come on now, amen. In other words, what I'm saying is, you're going to put this to practice, and the grace of God is going to empower you, and all of a sudden, you're going to be 10 steps ahead of everything the enemy meant for harm in your life before you even realize what happened. Your hope, your confidence, your trust is in what Jesus has done. Now notice, He said, verse 13, "Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." See, we've got to see what we're attached to. You're attached to the source of hope. You're attached to the source of joy. That's your source. Now remember what we said. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We agree with that, right? That's what Paul wrote the church at Ephesus. All right? So go back to the 14th chapter and look. Let's see what you have in your kingdom. This is why you have such hope. This is why you have such ability to speak the truth. Verse 17, Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Aren't you glad? It's not just about the natural. Though thank God He does take care of the natural. "But the kingdom of God," say, "I'm in the kingdom of God," "is righteousness." Come on, you have the gift of righteousness. "It's peace." Woo! I need peace, y'all. I need to know that it's going to be all right. I don't know how, but I know I serve a God. It's going to be all right. Come on now. "Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." That's in you. Because you're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you. So anything I'd want to say otherwise, I've got to recognize that is a root that is attached to something other than the truth to try to get me to settle for second best. To try to be limited in what God would do in me and through me. Amen? You've got to believe that you're righteous because Jesus said you was. You realize that's the biggest downfall is how the devil gets a hold of our heart, because if we don't know that we're righteous, we won't be in the place and the position where we think we can do righteous. In closing, turn to the 11th chapter. In this 11th chapter, Paul is writing about Israel and what has happened to them and what's going to happen to them and how He's brought the Gentiles in. But I want you to just see some, don't get caught up on all the vast teaching that we go in the directions there. I want you to stay in the thought of where we're at. And look at verse 16. It says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches." Come on now. Somebody needs to shout.
Thank you, Lord.
The Word of God just said that because Jesus Christ, He's the lump, He's the very root, His holiness, He's gave it to you. See, the things of the world don't look as good anymore all of a sudden. Because you're living out of the kingdom of heaven where there was peace. There was joy. The world can't touch anything that God has for His children. But you don't have to pray it down or believe it down. It's in you because you're in the kingdom. Amen? You have the avenue to bring it out of your life to speak what God would have you to speak. Amen? Okay. Now, where was that? Verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, you partake of the root. That's your source now. Jesus Christ is your source. So you recognize anything that makes you feel ungodly, unworthy, that makes you feel where you don't have hope, makes you feel like you don't have confidence, that makes you feel like that you're not worthy, or that God's not going to bless you or help you. All of those things, you take it and you cast it down and you speak God's word over your situation and you let it create God's best for you, for me. Amen? But you've got to see that you qualify. You know how many people that you and I come in contact and we talk to and they think that God won't do it for them, He'll do it for somebody else? We've got to encourage them. We've got to point them back to the Word of God. Everything's got to go back to the Word and show them that Jesus loves them with an everlasting love, that He has His best for them. Amen? Now notice this. Verse 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, recognize and realize that it's not about you and me. It's about what Jesus done. Come on, you didn't save yourself. Jesus saved you. So you're not going to mess up enough. Come on, He's not going to let you go. Now, you could got free will. You could make some choices just if you wanted to, but you're not going to do that because you're seeing how much God loves you and what His plan is for your life. Amen? And you recognize that your holiness is not of yourself, but your root is in Jesus. It's righteous. And because you're joined with Him, the Word of God is going to flow in you and through you, and it's going to come out your mouth, and you're going to start seeing some things change. You're going to see where there was division, all of a sudden there's unity. Where there was confusion, there's an understanding. Where there was lack, there's a promise and a provision. Amen? You've got to believe it. I've got to believe it. Now, I want you to know that God is up to something so amazing. We understand and we recognize that we've been believing God and trusting God that this is the year of expansion in our personal lives, in the body of Christ, in His plan, in His will. And I want you to know that in your life, there is something growing that is bigger and more magnificent than you've ever dreamed of. Because you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Come on. You're rooted and grounded. So, because you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, there's things growing that hasn't come to the surface yet. But they're going to come to the surface because all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is going to move on you and you're going to open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, it's going to be a creative force and it's going to create what God's will is, what His plan is for your life. But you've got to believe that there's more in you than there is out here. I'll close with this thought. There's a Chinese bamboo tree, and if you go and you buy it by the root, and you plant that in the ground, and for 4 years you can't see a thing. For 4 years you think, okay, I planted this, nothing's happened. But all of a sudden, in the fifth year, in 6 weeks' time, this bamboo goes 90 feet in 6 weeks. They figured it up. You could actually see it grow. It figures up to like an inch and a half in an hour when it's in this growth spurt. So I want you to be in the place and the position where you recognize and you realize who you are. And there's the Word of God is in you. And the Word of God is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. And it's a creative force. And it's going to bring some things out of your life. And it may seem like it's been a long time, but it's going to come just like that. Amen. It's going to happen. The expansion will happen. Now, I almost forgot about this, but I got to include this thought right here. When it says that you and I have been grafted in, I want you to think about how special God thinks you are. Okay? Because now, think about in the natural. You can take this one man in the state of New York. He's took and he's grafted in 40 different kinds of stone fruit. You know, plums, apricots, different stone fruit. He's grafted them into one tree. This one tree produces 40 different kinds of fruit. Now think about Jesus Christ. He put me in Him. He put you in Him. We pull. He's the source where we can produce our fruit. But He doesn't change our fruit because you were created good. Brand new in Jesus Christ. You can produce fruit like nobody else. He doesn't want to change your fruit because I'm talking about after you've been born again. Because you produce fruit that is unique to who you are. Come on now. And the world needs to see Jesus through your fruit. Come on now. But that's how special you are to Him. So stop trying to be somebody else. Be who God created you to be. You're tasty. You're productive. You're just what God wanted when you moment by moment, you let the Word flow through you and change you. Come on, into what you were destined to be before the world, come on, before the devil, before the flesh moved in. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You, Lord, for every person that is here. Lord, I ask that You would just encourage every person and let them see that this morning is a destiny that You want to impart into them, a reality of where they're at and where You'd have them to go, that You want to give them a revelation of Your Word in their situation, that they can be the not the false prophet, but the prophet that is partaking from the righteous root. And they can prophesy righteous things. They can prophesy Your will, Your plan. They can see things change. And because they're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in them, they can have peace and joy. They can have righteousness. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Things that's wrong can be made right by them saying what You'd have them to say this morning. Lord, let it be. We bind every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask that You just embolden us. Let Your Word be like fire shut up in our bones and let us speak what You'd have, what You reveal to us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Would You come this morning, make Yourself an altar and say, Lord, I want to see some things different. I want to say what You'd have me to say. I want to be in the place and the position where Your Word creates Your will and Your plan for my life. Would You come this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't settle for second best. Don't allow the enemy to think, make me think that God's Word is not for us and not for our situation because it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Father, we love You. We honor You. Touch and draw. Touch and draw. Help us, Lord, in every way. Receive the fullness of what You have.